faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Merry Christmas to you. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, and this is the Refresh broadcast, and today is one of the most celebrated days in my year. I love Christmas. I love talking about my Savior, and thank God that He has come to revolutionize and change our world and who we are. I'm sorry, my voice a little rough there at the beginning. So I pray that you are having a great day and you're getting to celebrate with your family, and remember to keep Jesus the focus of your life. So we've been talking this week about some of the declarative statements, the supernatural statements that were made by those vital people in the Christmas story. And we have been in Luke chapter 1 now for most of this week. So I want to take you back there to verse number 46 this morning. We're going to read a little further and then look at some of the statements that Mary made. We'll drop down a little bit into chapter 1 and see some truths that Zechariah shared with us as well. So in verse number 46 of Luke chapter 1, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will come." Or, let me read that. "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. We have gone over these verses from verses 46 on down. I believe we ended yesterday's broadcast at verse number 50. And in verse number 51, it says, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." And so, you know, pride is a very deceptive thing. It's one of the things that is listed in the deadly sins in Proverbs. It's actually mentioned a couple of times. Pride leads to our destruction. A haughty spirit comes before destruction, and pride before the fall. So you and I, we need to make sure that we keep pride out of our life. Pride is such a deceptive thing that it can worm its way into us even when we aren't aware of it. One of the milestone moments in my life, I was dealing with a situation and had a lot of time invested in it, had envisioned a lot, put a lot of preparation work, and then all of a sudden, at the last minute, it was done away and went a different direction. And as I was walking and praying, and God spoke to me, and he said, "You know, I have to deal with pride in your heart the same as I have to deal with pride in everybody else's heart." And I realized at that moment how deceptive pride is. It can come in, it slips in. But here in verse number 51, it talks about that our pride will result in us being scattered. And you and I, we don't want that. I shared the verse with you yesterday. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I pray that on this Christmas day, you experience the grace of God and enjoy the humility that comes from knowing him. Verse 52, "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel." Here I have a note written down, because a lot of people are, know, they don't really know the word. A lot of times people say things and we think it's in the Bible, and one of those is God helps those who helps himself, who helps themselves. That's not the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is he helps those who were unable to redeem themselves, and your eternity cannot be purchased with money. It cannot be purchased with possessions. It cannot be purchased with beauty or with intellect. There is only one thing that is able to change your eternity, and that is this day that we are celebrating today, that Jesus came, died upon the cross, and was raised again the third day. Him coming, God himself coming, and living a holy and sinless life, that changed everything. He made it possible for us to be redeemed. But here in this passage, verse number 54, it says, he has helped his servant Israel. It's not that God helps those who helps themselves. It's God helps those who serve him. In other words, the assistance that God gives to us, first of all, he came not for the healthy, but for the sick. Those are the ones that needed a physician. And sometimes you just need to recognize the spiritual condition that you are in. Here he says he has helped his servant Israel. And that is a very vital truth to see, in that God gives us the strength, he gives us the assistance, he transforms us so that we can serve him. Look at that in verse number 54, his servant Israel. We are to be serving him. So as you go about your day today, let me just encourage you to look at how you can serve God. As you sit down at your breakfast table, as you partake of lunch or dinner, remember what God has done. Remember just how gracious he has been to you. If we drop down in chapter 1 to verse number 67, you're going to see it says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesying, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Here God has done all of the work. He has done everything that is necessary so that you and I could understand that he wants us to be saved. If you are listening to me on the radio today, first of all, thank you for allowing us the privilege of coming and speaking into your life. God has done all of the work. He's made salvation possible, and it is up to us to say, yes, Lord. Let's not make the mistake that the innkeeper did and say, you know what, I don't have room for you. Let's recognize that God visits us, he redeems us, and he makes salvation available to us. Verse number 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. We were just talking about he has helped his servant Israel, and it talks there in verse number 54 that when we serve him, it is without fear. It's not a phobic reaction. It is not something that should cause us terror. We need to realize what a privilege has been granted to us. We need to recognize that we're in the presence of a holy and spotless God. He is flawless in all that he does, and we do need to prepare to come into his presence, but we don't have to look at him as someone to be afraid of. Listen, he came that you and I might be saved. He came that he might empower us and equip us and enable us to serve him with power, serve him without fear, serve him in a love relationship. If you look up in verse number 71, you you see that we should be saved from our enemies. Thank God that He is able not only to deliver us from an aimless or misdirected life or a reckless path, but God is able to deliver us from the hand of our enemies. He's always been able to do that. He not only delivers us from, He delivers us to. He delivers us from the trap that is going to lead to death and destruction. And He delivers us to a place of promise, a place of purpose, and a place of passion. So He said that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. If I can just speak to you this morning, I just want to let you know that God loves you. That's not a stretch for me to say, even if some are listening today that may not know Jesus as Lord of their life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's not that God hates you. God loves you. He loves you just the way that you are, and He loves you too much to leave you that way. And so today, Christmas is about the launching pad. It's the beginning place. It's the starting place. And you and I, we will look at this over the next couple of days. I'm really looking forward to sharing the next couple of messages with you. And we need to realize that today is not the end all. It's the beginning. It's the starting point. And God who begins is also the God who finishes. And it says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham. Now, I want to share a couple of things about this. First of all, God has never forgotten His covenant. You can look at it, and we often call it an Old Testament and a New Testament, but there are other times that it's called the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And when Jesus came, He was coming to fulfill all of the requirements in the Old Covenant that you and I were powerless to be able to fulfill on our part. God never failed to uphold His end of the covenant, but man failed over and over and over again. And the new covenant that Jesus came to establish was one that was not based on the law, but it was based on the grace of God. Thank God for His unmerited favor. Thank God that He gave us. It was also not just a covenant with the people of Israel, but it was a covenant with the people of faith, that Abraham is the father of those who are of faith. It says, the oath He swore to our father Abraham. In other words, the covenant that God was coming, it predated Moses. It predated the law. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, where Abram and God enter into a covenant relationship. And so I am thankful. Today, I am married. I'm in a covenant arrangement with my wife. And, you know, we've been married for, you know, almost three decades. It's, you know, still a ways away for three decades, but it's close enough that we could say 30 years of covenant arrangement and covenant marriage. And so thank God for that. But it's not a covenant where it's like, oh no, do I really have to keep? It's a covenant of love. God keeps His covenant because He loves you. And so thank the Lord for His covenant and that He remembers His covenant. And in verse number 74, He tells us just a little bit about the reason why He did that, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Now, today we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and thank God for that. But the relationship continues. It's not just a visit to the maternity ward at the hospital. Today we are celebrating the birth of Jesus, and, you know, and if you read in Luke chapter 2, you're going to find and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so I want to encourage you today to recognize that God is coming. He came to remember his covenant, and he left us a gift. And I pray that you were blessed with gifts today, that they will be tools to be able to help you in whatever it is you do. I know for the past several Christmases, my Christmas presents have primarily been tools that will help me to accomplish the task that I needed to accomplish. They were tools that I needed and I didn't have, and I'm believing for the same for this Christmas, that the gifts that I receive will be equipping gifts, that they will be empowering gifts. They won't just be to make me look good or feel good, but they will be purposeful and useful gifts so that you and I can be delivered from the hand of our enemies. I just speak deliverance to you today. Jesus came to lead captivity captive, and I pray that you would be set free from any strongholds or any addictions that you might be facing. Like I said earlier, God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And I just want to come into agreement with you. I want to pray that God will deliver us in 2014 from the things that have dragged us down, that have been stumbling blocks to us in 2013. If you have addiction issues, and those can come in many different varieties. I am one of those people that when I'm working, I really work, and when I'm resting, I really rest. And you know, the addictions that I deal with may not be the same addictions that you deal with. I have to watch myself because I am addicted to the news. I can be reading the news over and over and over again. I love to stay informed, and I want to, you know, I don't want it to be filling myself up with bad news. I want to be filling myself up with good news. And so sometimes God will speak to me and says, I need you to lay that aside. I've got some good news that I want to put into your spirit. And so, you know, God helps me even in that area of my life. And so I encourage you today to allow him to set you free from any enemies, that you might serve him without fear. And it goes on in verse number 75, and it talks about additional ways that we are to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And so today is a day where you can celebrate what God has done for you, but it's just a milestone event. The journey continues on from here. You and I, we serve him without fear, but we serve him in the things that he has provided for us. He's provided holiness for him. You and I, we serve the Most High God. I know that a lot of times during the holidays, especially the ladies, if they're having in-laws over or family members, they go through tremendous amount of preparation for the company that is getting ready to come. Well, holiness is our way of preparing ourselves to serve a holy and righteous God. I want God to come, and I don't want to be embarrassed in any area of my life. And so thank God for his forgiveness, to serve him in righteousness or right standing before God. Jesus Christ is your righteousness. He is my righteousness. And we are able to serve God because of what Christ has done for us. You can never make yourself righteous. The scriptures talk about that our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. They're not suitable. You know, if you are going into surgery, they want to make sure that everything that is worn, every tool that is used, is sanitized. It's prepared for a healthy environment, one that you are not going to catch an infection when you're going in there to get well. Well, Jesus came, and he is our righteousness. We need his cleansing blood every minute of every day. No matter how long you've walked with him, there are probably still areas in your life that you need to ask God to grant you victory over. Verse number 27, or 77, I'm sorry. I'll start reading in verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. And so you and I, we have been blessed to know that salvation is available to us. I remember reading an article about this contemporary music artist, a pop star, and this person happens to come from a Christian background, and they know that they are not living the way that they are supposed to live at this point in time. And so this person has created a little memento. They've created a reminder that it just, every time that they see it, it reminds them that there is a Savior that they need to return to. Now, I don't understand why they would want to postpone making that decision and return, because the life decisions that they're making have resulted in heartbreak and sorrow. Their current decisions have made them extremely popular. Their current decisions have made them a lot of money, but it is not giving them lasting peace. And so they have this little reminder that says, you know what, I can always come back to Jesus. Well, I want to encourage you today that you and I don't always get to pick and choose the timing of it. You know, Hollywood just had an actor who died unexpectedly in a car crash. And you and I, we can't always count on having tomorrow to be the day that we exercise our right to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. I don't want to live my life just believing God to get me out of hell. I want him to empower me so that I can serve him without fear, serve him in holiness, serve him in righteousness, serve him knowing the salvation that he has made available to us. Not just with a head knowledge, but with a heart knowledge, with an intimacy to know that I'm saved. To know that I know that I know that I'm saved. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of his sins through the tender mercy of our God. And there is no way to salvation without repentance. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Over the past couple of weeks at church, we were preaching messages, and in John chapter 14, it says, no one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And there have been people that I've known that says, how can you build an entire doctrine on salvation to Jesus on those few short words? Well, it's not those few short words. Listen, if there was any other way that you and I could have been saved that would have spared Jesus coming and dying the miserable death that he endured upon the cross, then God would have taken that. It wasn't that he was just providing another means of salvation. He was providing the only means to salvation, that through the forgiveness of our sins, through the shedding of blood, that is how we were able to be saved. It is the grace of God that gift is available to us. What we face in modern America right now is that there is a tremendous push to be able to call yourself a Christian, to be able to call yourself a child of God, but not having to forsake the sins that are destroying you. And that is not going to, it's not going to line up with the Word of God. Listen, at my house, I have the keys to my house. I can unlock the door, I can come in, I can go out. But if you try the key to another house, it's not going to open that door. And Jesus came so that our sins could be wiped out, so that we could be enabled to live the life that God created us to be. and it talks about this, that it all of this is available through the tender mercy of our God. As you go about this day, we're coming to the end of our broadcast here in just a couple of minutes. But as we come today, remember that this is about the tender mercy of God. He came that our sins could be forgiven, and it's because he loves us, and he wanted to extend his tender mercy to you and I. As you see all of the pictures of the Christ child and, you know, how tender and sweet and loving he is, remember that it's the tender mercy of God that he wants you and I. Remember every time you see the name Jesus today, that it's because he wanted you to be forgiven of your sins. Don't take that for granted. Don't just think that it is of no consequence. It is extremely important. And it says that this is through the tender mercy of God. A lot of times people have this mindset that God is this filled with wrath and filled with anger, and he's just looking to take people out. But instead, the Bible continues over and over to talk about the tender mercy of God. It takes more strength to be merciful and tender and gentle than it does to lose control and let the full weight of your being come down. You know, if you take your hand and just rest it on your other arm, you can rest it there and you don't have to exert any of the muscles in that I've got my right hand on my left hand right now. It doesn't take my right arm using any strength at all to rest it there. But if I say, just cause your hand to hover to the point where you are just barely touching, it's there that the tenderness, it takes strength to be able to hold your arm in a place where you can exude just a gentle touch. Today, appreciate the gifts that God has given to you. Don't let today pass with you still as a bondservant of sin. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life. Thank him for his tenderness, for his mercy, for his grace. Thank him that he has given you and I the redemption from our sins that we needed. I pray today that you will not be trapped in your sins 1 minute longer.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild.